We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall never surrender until, in God's good time, the new world, with all its power and might, steps forth to the rescue and the liberation of people.
In times of universal deceit, truth is the only rebellion left.
Donald Trump wisely calls on all Americans to help ensure a peaceful transition with no violence. And at the same time, I get an email from an individual who assumes I agree with the president and he wants to debate me because he thinks armed resistance and armed revolution is needed. I come down on him very, very hard. I'm going to share that story and more with you today. I'm Dr. Everett Piper, and this is The Rebellion. Okay, welcome to today's Rebellion. You've all read the story. It's an exclusive that came out from Fox, and I'll read the story to you right now. The headline is, Trump calls on Americans to help ensure peaceful transition with no violence. Here's part of the story. President Trump on Wednesday is calling for all Americans, quote-unquote, to help ease tensions and calm tempers, saying he does not stand for violence of any kind. The report goes on. In light of reports of more demonstrations, I urge that there must be no violence, and no is capitalized, by the way, no lawbreaking and no vandalism of any kind. That's the president's quote. The president then said in a statement to Fox News that it is not what I stand for, and it is not what America stands for. I call upon all Americans, capitalized, to help ease tensions and calm tempers. Thank you. Close quote. President of the United States, Donald Trump. Now, a Trump advisor told Fox News the statement will go out as an email from the White House press office. The White House will then attempt to post the statement to all of Trump's official social media accounts. The advisor told Fox News the statement would be posted and distributed through all Trump campaign and political accounts. President Trump is asking all Americans to join him in ensuring that there is an orderly and peaceful transition next week, the advisor told Fox News. So obviously, Trump in the White House, Trump is trying to communicate to everybody. He's actually trying to use his social media. It will be interesting to see whether Twitter permits him to do so, whether or not Twitter will lift the ban on the president's Twitter account, whether other social media platforms will lift their ban against the president of the United States and let him communicate this positive message. You would think they would. They should. They can't wash their hands of their responsibility of letting the positive communication go out in this manner. I mean, my land, if they don't like it, if they're fearful that the president somehow would sabotage it and change his message from what I just read to you to something else, they clearly don't have to post it. Twitter should lift its ban. All social media should lift their ban against the president and allow him to communicate in the manner that we just described, in the manner that we just read. The advisor added this, according to Fox News. This is a critical time. This is a critical time in our nation's history, and surely we can all come together to deliver this important message. I agree with that. Twitter included, Amazon included, Facebook included. Everybody should allow the president to communicate this important message. To continue to play partisan politics, says the advisor, is just a bad thing. We need to come together at this point. We need to agree that no violence at any time in any place is appropriate. There's a way to dispute and disagree in our country and in our culture. And that way is within the boundaries that the Constitution gives us. There is no freedom without fences. There is no liberty without law. If you're going to burn the place down, if you're going to ignore the law, then you are going to suffer the consequences of losing the liberty that you enjoyed within that law. Those that rushed the nation's capital were wrong. They should not have broken the law. They had the right to protest. They had the right to gather. They had the freedom of assembly that's guaranteed to them in the Constitution, and they should have functioned boldly, clearly, and strategically within those boundaries. Once they stepped outside of the fences of the Constitution, of the fences of our nation's law, they're going to suffer the consequences of the loss of freedom as the result. I've said it 1,000 times on this show. There is no liberty without law. There is no freedom without fences. The beauty of the American experiment is we have those laws that have been given to us, revealed to us, inspired by the laws of God. The Ten Commandments, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, the Old Testament, is referred to more by our founding fathers than any other literature, ancient literature. More than Locke, more than Hume, more than Descartes, more than Montesquieu, all of those other authors and works combined don't add up to the commentary out of Deuteronomy alone. I've told you that before. In fact, there's a book, America's Prophet, which refers to Moses as America's prophet because he inspired so much of our system and so much of our legal thinking and so much of our freedoms that come about as the result of that law. Those fences that give us freedom, that law that gives us liberty. If you're going to step outside of those boundaries, you're going to suffer the consequences for it. Period. Armed resistance at this point is nuts. It's crazy. And anybody calling for that needs to step down, step back, and stop. Armed resistance is nuts. You still have freedom of speech. Oh, I understand as well as anybody that it's in danger of being compromised, and the First Amendment is hanging by a thread, it appears at sometimes, especially when Parler is being deplatformed just a few hours before I'm going on the radio to do this broadcast. I understand the compromises that the radical left is pursuing with regard to freedom of religion and freedom of expression and freedom of the press and freedom of assembly. I get it. I understand it as well as anybody. I'm worried about it as much as anybody. I do have concerns about my voice being silenced. When will I get deplatformed? Frankly, I'm too small of a fish for many people to worry about. But who knows? Am I going to be taken down? Will I be able to communicate my ideas to you? I don't know. But what I do know is calling for armed resistance right now is crazy. And that's what I told my friend. And I want to share that story with you. Maybe that'll be the entire show. I don't know. There's more we can talk about today. But this is so important. It's so important. This is not who we are. Conservatives don't do this. Conservatives have the better ideas. Conservatives have confidence in the truth. How many times have I said on this show that conservatives trust the truth with a capital T? The truth is the judge. The truth is the referee. We engage in the public square and the market square of ideas. We do that with confidence that truth will prevail. We trust the words of Christ. The truth shall set you free. Conservatives lean on the truth. They don't lean on their guns. I'm pro Second Amendment. Don't misunderstand me. But to call upon your neighbors and to send me an email calling for armed resistance, to take up arms in this situation, is crazy. It is not constitutional. It is not conservative. It is not abiding within the laws. And you're dumbing down the conservative movement in an egregious fashion. And you're hanging the label insurrectionist on our nose. And I don't appreciate it. I don't appreciate it. Now, I'm not accusing anybody else listening to this show right now of holding the same view. What I am saying is I have this one person who actually wanted to debate me on this issue. I guess I'm glad that he assumed I'd disagree with him. I'm grateful for that. But the fact that he thinks that this is a viable option, a viable topic for debate, no, I'm not going to debate him publicly. I did debate him privately. I told him exactly what I'm going to share with you here in a second. I told him that This was absolutely wrong. And I condemned his idea out of hand. And that no debate was necessary. When I was a college president, I used to say, I'll debate almost anything, but there are a couple things I won't bring into the debate, because by giving them a platform in the first place, you're somehow elevating their agenda to some level of assumed acceptability. And so there were some things that were just off the table. For example, I wasn't going to bring in somebody from the Ku Klux Klan to debate me at Oklahoma Wesleyan University. Their agenda didn't deserve any debate. I dismissed it out of hand. I wouldn't bring somebody like that to the table. I wouldn't bring in a neo-Nazi. I wouldn't bring in Louis Farrakhan to debate his anti-Semitism with our biblical worldview. Louis Farrakhan's view of Jews is deplorable. It's anathema to everything that the Bible and a Christian should stand for, and therefore I would never elevate his idea to any level of acceptability by putting him on the same platform with me. And likewise, I'm not going to debate this issue of whether or not it's the right time to take up arms and commit violence against the Constitution of the United States of America. That's not debatable. It's just a bad idea. Let's take a break right now and acknowledge our sponsors, and when I get back, I'll give you more of the story. I'm Dr. Everett Piper. This is The Rebellion, and we'll be right back in a couple minutes. Okay, welcome back to The Rebellion. Oh, by the way, if you'd like to subscribe to The Rebellion, remember you can do so by going to patreon.com/Dr. Everett Piper, patreon.com/DREVERETTPIPER. In light of what's going on in social media right now, I strongly encourage you to do so. That may be the way you can continue to hear what I have to say, if you care. That may be a way for you to continue to engage in this conversation that we have titled The Rebellion. Now, it's interesting. My friend, when I challenged him and said, no, that's a terrible idea. It's a terrible idea. I don't support that, and I'm not going to debate it. It's a terrible idea to suggest that you're going to take up arms right now. When I said that to him, he said, well, maybe you should change the name of your show. I thought it was called The Rebellion. My goodness, do we not understand the use of the English language? Do we not understand that rebellion is defined? Now, there are several definitions in there. I grant you that. But it's clear that when I say truth is the only rebellion left, when I say in times of universal deceit, truth is the only rebellion left, does that sound to you like I'm calling for any armed revolution? No, I'm calling to take up the banner of truth as a resistance movement to the deception of our age. Truth, the better ideas, the big ideas, the good ideas, the eternal ideas. I've said that conservatives conserve what? They conserve the ideas that have been tested by time. Those ideas that have been tested by time and defended by reason and tested by experience. Those ideas that have been revealed to us by God. The rebellion, this radio show, this podcast, is a resistance. It's a resistance that's fueled by truth with a capital T against the postmodern deconstruction of that truth. My goodness, to suggest that I need to change the name of the show because you somehow think the word has military or armed conflict implicit in it? No. Rebellion, one of the definitions that Merriam-Webster gives for rebellion is the action or process of resisting control, resisting convention. The definition of a rebellion is a resistance against something, particularly government, if it's out of control. But how do you resist it? You resist it with the better ideas. You resist it by debate. You resist it by saying, bring it on. I want to discuss that. I want to be open-minded. I want to be tolerant. Yes, I agree that hate and vitriol and vengeance are bad, and it sounds like some people on your side of the fence are interested in hate and vitriol and vengeance right now. Why is that? Let's discuss this. Let's debate this. Let's talk about liberty and liberation. Let's talk about freedom and justice. Let's talk about who defines those things. Should the power of the mob define those things? Or is there somebody bigger and better and more permanent than the mob or the riot? My goodness, the word rebellion is not synonymous with taking up arms. It's to resist. Do we not understand the nature of a metaphor? A metaphor. The Beatles sang about a revolution. Did you think they were calling for armed revolution? We heard about the sexual revolution. Did that have anything to do with taking up arms? I think it was a bad thing. I think that revolution went in the wrong direction, but I wouldn't sit here and tell you that it was a military revolt. It was a moral revolt. And we should have countered it with better ideas, stronger ideas. We should have engaged that revolution. We should have resisted it. Okay? Maybe we should have rebelled against it. We had the Reagan Revolution. Was that a bad thing? No. The Reagan Revolution was a revolution against those ideas that were bad. So a revolution or a rebellion is not part and parcel with this call to take up arms. You have teenage rebellion. Was that a bad thing? Yeah, in some cases it is. In some cases, it's a teenager deciding to be his own man and to take off a mask that's been handed to him by somebody else in authority and to figure out what's underneath that mask and become a man of integrity and integrate head and heart and fact and faith and belief and behavior into a holistic person, hopefully a godly person, hopefully somebody that will lead rather than follow the emotions, somebody that will lead rationally and not allow themselves to be taken over by the emotions of the time. You know, even Thomas Jefferson used the word rebellion. You know the quote. He said, "I hold that a little rebellion now and then is a good thing and as necessary in the political world as storms in the physical." Now, what did Jefferson mean by that? Was he calling upon the American people to take up arms against the government of the United States, this brand new experiment in human liberty? Absolutely not. He said this: "God forbid that we should ever be 20 years without such a rebellion." Is this a call to every 20 years that we take up arms and overthrow the House, the Senate, the White House? No, Jefferson wasn't calling for that. What he was saying is a lack of a rebelliousness among the people would demonstrate a lethargy. In fact, he said this, a lethargy or lethargy, however you want to pronounce it, a lethargy, the forerunner of death to the public liberty. He then said, "And what country can preserve its liberties if its rulers are not warned from time to time that this people preserve the spirit of resistance?" Jefferson, obviously, the guy isn't a lunatic. He understood the risks, the risks that he and all others that signed the Declaration of Independence took in giving birth to this republic called the United States of America. He understood what they had put on the line. They put their life and their liberty and their sacred honor on the line. They signed a paper saying that, my goodness. He wasn't calling upon armed insurrection every 20 years to throw that out. No, the rebellion that he was calling for was a rebellion of ideas, a resistance to challenge those in charge to stand down from their bad ideas. Not to dethrone them physically, but to vote somebody else in with better ideas that would give you more freedom rather than less. And taking up arms at this time in our nation's history is not going to result in that. I told my friend this: you're playing right into the hands of those that you dislike the most. Have you ever heard the words, "Never let a good crisis go to waste"? Why in the world would you want to give your political adversaries, your ideological adversaries, a crisis that they can use to squash you. Why would you want to prove their lies? He said to me, this friend of mine, he said to me, but they're liars. They lie about this. They lied about that. They stole the election. They called us bad things anyway. What difference does it make? I said to him, well, your proposal would prove their lies to be truth, I guess, because you're going to become the very thing that they're accusing you now of being by this foolish action. What sense does that make? How is that going to win the day for freedom? No. I want to state unequivocally, no. No. No one who is a true constitutional conservative should be even entertaining violence. The way to win freedom is to win it through better ideas. And the ideas that have been conserved over the ages, the biblical ideas, the right ideas, the ideas of justice, the ideas of freedom and liberty, those ideas are the ideas that will win at the end of the day. No matter how ugly things are right now, and I'm not happy about them any more than you are, I'm as disturbed by what is taking place right now as much as anybody. I was asked by this friend, he said, well, don't you believe that the election was stolen? I said, I don't know. I don't know enough to evaluate all the checks and balances that took place to make a call on that. Now, as a former dean of students, I've told you this, that I always assume there's a great big iceberg below the surface, and that what I do know is just the tip of the iceberg. I told you that before, that when I used to be the chief disciplinary figure at the colleges and universities that I worked for, that as a dean of students, it was my job to discipline students when they broke their honor code, when they broke the rules. I was the one to mete out the discipline. And when I found out that somebody had broken those rules, whatever it was that I knew, I always assumed there was something else more that I didn't know. One person was caught at the party? No, it usually takes more than one person to party. Well, who are all the rest of them? Well, I don't know. Well, I can't do anything about what I don't know. So I understand the suspicion of thinking there's a lot more below the surface that we don't know, the principle of the iceberg. I get it. I also understand the suspicion of looking at the data. The statistics don't make any sense to me. And I understand all of you who are saying that. It doesn't make any sense. But I'm also listening to other conservatives who aren't lying. Ben Shapiro isn't lying. He has said that he doesn't see enough evidence of fraud. He says there is evidence. There may be a lot of evidence, but not enough evidence, not enough quantitative evidence to demonstrate that the election was thrown. Is Shapiro right? I don't know. Are those on the other side, other end of the continuum who say there's tons of evidence, Donald Trump and his team? Maybe they are. I don't know. But what I do know is you and I have to make a decision right now. Right now. What are we going to do about it? And what I'm encouraging you to do about it, everybody that's listening to The Rebellion right now, to do about it, is to rebel. Resist with your ideas. With your ideas. Don't play into the left's hands. Don't play by their rules. Be better than that. Be smarter than that. Be more articulate. Be better read. Be better informed. Be more engaged. And for anybody that's thinking about going out there and doing something stupid, don't. And before you ever try to justify that, answer me this one. Have you gotten involved in the local community? Are you doing everything that you can do to influence the ideas of your community? Are you on the school board? Do you write letters to the newspaper? Are you engaged in the political meetings in your town and in your community? Have you run for office? Are you doing what I'm doing? Are you trying to get out there and have a voice? If you haven't done any of this, are you teaching Sunday school? If you haven't done any of that, if you haven't tried to engage the culture with your ideas, you have no business. You have no business going down any other path in terms of how to change the culture. You change culture by your ideas. That's the way Americans do it. So, The answer to my friend is don't. Don't even talk about it. It's silly. And don't let them corner you. Don't be foolish. Don't let them define you by their terms. Don't let them define your terms. And don't compromise your conservative standards ever, because those standards aren't yours. They've been conserved by history. They're history's standards. They've been revealed by God. They're God's standards. They've been passed on through the generations. They're the generation's standards. They will be passed on, hopefully, to your children, and they will be your children's standards. They're not your standards to compromise. Don't be one of them. Don't. Don't be one of these people that thinks that burning cars or riding in Kenosha or assaulting a police officer in St. Louis or Kansas City or anywhere else for that matter, in Washington, D.C., don't be anybody who thinks and portrays that idea as being even a legitimate thing to put on the table for debate. It is not. That is not who we are. You engage culture with your ideas because those ideas are revealed to you by God, and your rights are grounded in those ideas, and you're going to lose those rights if you're foolish. I'm Dr. Everett Piper, and this is The Rebellion, a rebellion of ideas, not guns, a rebellion of virtue, not violence.